All right, this is it. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 114 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Man, it is hotter than owl piss out there. You ever heard that phrase? That's the way we talk about it back home, you know what I'm saying? Owl piss. You know another one I've heard, that's not something I made up. That's something I used to hear people say. Hotter than owl piss. Very strange. Another one of my favorites that I've heard people say, usually old people. And I've incorporated this into my vocabulary or into my bag of tricks, as it were. Slicker than cat shit on a marble floor. Love that one. That's a good one. I don't know where they come. Where do these things come from? I don't understand. But anyway, it is hot, humid, super humid. I mean, today's supposed to be the worst. And it's supposed to get a little bit better, but today is the worst. I mean, this is exactly the exact kind of weather I hate. This is the worst. I hate this shit. Tony's like, well, if we ever move back to the South, how are you going to be able to handle it? I'll tell you how we're going to be able to handle it. Central air. That's how you handle it. You turn that shit up to a meat locker setting, and you just ride it out, baby. If it's humid, just don't go outside. Or, you know, you have a garage, you have your car inside the garage, you know, you get that thing fired up, you know, you can fire up the air conditioner before you even get into it. Make sure you put the garage door up when you're doing that little maneuver. But, you know, there's ways around. I lived in the South all my life. You know, I consider southern West Virginia, where I'm from, to be the South, even though some people argue with me about that. It's very southern. I mean, that's not what I'm going to talk about today. And I lived in North Carolina. I lived in Atlanta. I mean, I know about the South. And I handled it. I'm a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, grouchy about stuff now than I used to be. But, and I would definitely complain if I had to deal with, like, just constant humidity and heat for weeks, months on end. I would definitely bitch about it. But there's ways around it. You get central air. That thing just keeps, you know, that thing does the work for you. The way we have these stupid Soviet Humbox window units, we have four of them. We used to have five. We don't put one in the downstairs in the family room anymore. It doesn't, you know, it's a little bit cooler down here. But, so we have four of them, you know, and, you know, you turn those things on, you can't hear each other talk. It's like loud roaring. And it's not good, you know, and it's not something. I like the central air. You just like say, all right, I want everything to be, you know, 68. Just maintain it. That's your job. All right, we decided 68 is the number we're shooting for. All right, you take it from here. I like that, you know. I don't like the cutting, turning on an apparatus, and it just roars, and it gets everything like super cold. You can't hear the TV. You can't hear each other talk. and then as soon as you turn it off, it just instantly starts getting hot again. That's no good. That's no way to live. God. All right. Anyway, today I was going to talk about baseball. I'm not going to, you know. I know you guys probably are not in, you know, as interested in it as I am, but I'm getting very agitated about this whole thing. I mean, baseball had an opportunity, right? The entire world is in turmoil, right? Over this virus, the rioting, and you know, all that jazz, protests. But so baseball, you know, they have an opportunity to come back. They were shooting for the 4th of July, that weekend. and they were going to come back, and they were going to have like a half a season, and they were going to have an expanded playoffs. They were talking about doing like some kind of all-star game after the season's over, which is weird. I don't really get that. But anyway, so they had an opportunity, you know, to come in when the whole world's in turmoil and become the American pastime again, right? They had that opportunity. And people would love it. You know, I saw something, somebody posted on Twitter today, it said, American sports fans are so desperate, they'd even watch soccer. It made me laugh. And so you bring back baseball right now, or in the few weeks, people would be, the goodwill would be overflowing. And what do? They argue about money for weeks on end. They argue about money. The owners make a proposal. The Players Association, the union, shoots it down. And then, you know, days go by, and they offer a counter proposal. The owners shoot that down. Days go by, and there's like these big giant gaps. It's like, it's maddening. Okay, if they're going to negotiate this stuff, I don't understand why there's such massive gaps, you know? So you know, the owners make a proposal. The Players Association, I guess they talk about it or whatever. They say no dice. And then maybe like a week goes by, and they make a counter proposal. We can't afford a whole week. You know, there needs to be, they need to have their counter proposal already chambered, you know, and ready to go. So I don't know, if they're going to negotiate this thing, which irritates me, they need to just, like, both of them, you know, both sides need to get their shit together and get this thing rolling, you know? I mean, they're not even going to be able to hit that 4th of July mark now because they're all this dithering, all this back and forth. They're going to end up screwing it, and everybody's already pissed, you know? And they're missing a great opportunity. It's all about money. Makes me sick. These owners, both sides are, I'm not taking either side in this, because the players are not innocent either. But these owners, they act like they're, you know, I mean, this is just, you know, they're going to lose all this money. That's the way it goes, man. You're the owner. You're a business owner. You're the one taking the risk. That's the way it is when you own a business. There's going to be up years. There's going to be down years. When you have an especially good year, I mean, you don't share that with the players. So why does the players have to share? Why they have to bail you out? I don't know. So I don't want to get into all that. But it irritates me that they're arguing about money, and they're going to screw up a perfect opportunity to, make people return to baseball and love it, which, you know, I don't know. Everything's all screwed up. Back in 1994, there was a strike. I can't remember the details of it. By 1994, I was kind of like, disengaged a little bit. I was paying attention, but not to the level as I was previously. And there was a strike, and there's people that still to this day, you know, they say, I don't watch baseball. So I haven't watched baseball since the strike. That was like 26 years ago. I mean, I feel like maybe you're not really a big baseball fan. You know, I don't think that you gave up much. That's just it's been 26 years. You know, and everybody who was involved in it back then are gone, including the players, the owners. It's like a whole completely different group of people. You know what I'm saying? I suspect not huge fans, these people that say that. That's fine. Whatever. Whatever your feelings are. That's your feelings, and that's cool. I don't know. But I think at that point, that was like a big turning point for baseball. I think that at that point, it started going downhill as far as the, fan engagement and that kind of stuff. And I have a feeling they're about ready to do that again. You know, they had an opportunity for this completely. I mean, it would be 100% positive, you know? I mean, it would be such a huge relief for people to have sports, to have baseball, Major League Baseball, that they could watch on their TV during all this turmoil and insanity. You know what I'm saying? And they're blowing it. They're arguing about money. And then you got people saying, this irritates me too. I mean, these are cliches. People just spew the same. They just hear each other say these things and then they say it and they act like they're saying something profound. You know, it's just millionaires arguing with billionaires. All right. Come up with your own material. That shit is played out. Just millionaires arguing with billionaires. You know, it has nothing to do with me. You know, that's all it is. But I haven't watched since the strike, 94. 26 years ago. perhaps you weren't a huge baseball fan. I mean, I don't know. I don't pretend to know anything about anything. But anyway, so baseball is screwing it, screwing up a perfect opportunity. The thing about the 94 thing, though, and this is what people say, and this is another one of these things, right? It's suspect in my mind, but they said the thing that saved the sport was the steroid era. You know, when players were taking steroids and it became like, you know, their shoulders are like 6 feet across, you know, and all these like iconic records, all these home run records, 61 home runs in a season. That's like, you know, every kid in America knew, you know, the home run, you know, Hank Aaron had 755 home runs. Roger Maris had 61 home runs. Broke Babe Ruth's previous. Everybody knows these records, right? They're iconic, you know. And now they mean nothing because they're destroyed by these guys who were like juicing, you know. They're like hitting. I don't even know what the home run. I don't even know what the single season. What is 100? What is the single season home run record now? 100. That'll never be. No, I think it's like 75 or something. So the previous record was 61. It stood for decades. And prior to that, it was 60, and it stood for decades. And now, so it goes from 61 to 75. Without the use of steroids and the help of steroids, that record will never be reached. It'll be impossible. And it's not even legit because it was done. Oh, God, I'm getting fired up. I mean, it's not even a legitimate. It means nothing. These home run records, I don't even know. I mean, you got Willie Mays and all these guys, Hank Aaron, and you got Babe Ruth and all these guys. You know, they have these home run records. Now they mean nothing. I mean, you got people like Sammy Sosa, people like that. Give me a break. Give me a big, fat, hairy break. And Barry Bonds, I mean, he was a great player. He'd be in the Hall of Fame on his own if he hadn't dabbled in that shit, you know? How many home runs does he have? Like 1,000? Ugh, makes me sick. But anyway, everybody, there's a group of people, and it's large, that says the steroid era was so electrifying and so exciting when everybody comes up and hits these like 700-foot home runs. And that's what saved the game. And so if they screw this thing up, which it seems like they're doing, you know, this opportunity they have right now, I don't know what's going to save the game. What is going to save the game next time? Or can it be saved? I have three things that I've jotted down here that I'm thinking maybe might electrify the game, you know, might make it more exciting for people. It might save, like, just like the steroid usage. I've got three things, and I don't know how legit these are, but you can give me your feedback. Also, I'd like to get your ideas, too. But one of them, I mean, this is not something that could be done right away. So I don't know if this would work, really. But I was thinking maybe we could clone, like, old players that have been dead for a long time. Like, go back, dig up their remains. I'm talking, like, Ty Cobb, people like this. Cy Young, all these old-timers, Christy Mathewson, all these great old players, Babe Ruth. Dig up their graves, see if we can extract some DNA, and clone their ass, right? And, I mean, you'd have to wait 20 years. So this is where, I don't know if it'll work. I mean, it wouldn't work in the short term. So you'd have to wait for them to grow up to be 20 years old so I can play Major League Baseball. But, you know, if you could go in and clone these old players, have like a Jurassic Park of old baseball players, I think that would electrify, you know. If you could have Joe DiMaggio out there playing against Ty Cobb, the Georgia Peach, that'd be awesome. But, all right, that's long term. So that, but in a more of a short term, like immediately after they screw this whole thing up, which they're in the process of doing, I think there's a couple other ideas that I have. One is to liven up the game, and it's along the lines of this steroid thing, right? We can't do the steroids again. I mean, that's out. But if they put like a landmine somewhere on the field, it could be in foul territory, it could be in the outfield, you don't know where it is, just a single landmine buried in the field somewhere, and each game it would be in a different place. I don't know how they'd manage to keep it secret, but, and I don't know how, you know, there'd be teams that would cheat, and they would get, you know, insider information, they would know where the landmine is, and avoid that area. You know, I could name a couple teams. But anyway, if we could keep it secret, maybe it's like put it in the outfield somewhere, just in some random spot, different place every game, and that would liven things up and people would love it, right? I mean, that's the same thing as the steroids. I mean, it makes no sense, but, you know, but there could be like a player like running for a, you know, just sprinting, like sprinting across the outfield like a majestic gazelle, you know, running for a fly ball. Next thing you know, legs are off. Just like a set of legs just flying through there, separate from the body. Just go sailing through the air. People would love this. It would, I mean, people would be glued to their TVs watching this. That's one of my ideas. Another one is, at certain points, and I don't know what would trigger this, but at certain points, at a certain point in every game, they would release maybe like a mountain lion or something. Like they'd have to play at least one full inning, you know, top and bottom of the inning, with a savage mountain lion loose on the field. I mean, sometimes they would just, you know, maybe they just go and lay down somewhere. I mean, they get tired too, you know, mountain lions. Maybe they just go up, but sometimes, you know, who knows what would happen. That thing could, like, take down a player from behind. You imagine how exciting that would be? So, I don't know. So, the cloning thing, that's long-term. That would take a little bit of time, but I think it would pay off in the long run. We have Joe DiMaggio out there and whatnot. And Honus Wagner. Woo! Man, that would be awesome. So, anyway, that's one thing. And then the landmine thing, I think that would bring fans back. That it would electrify people because they need excitement, baby. I mean, they can't, you know, just watching a baseball game, they have to have excitement. There has to be danger involved, right? It has to be constant. There has to be a sense of constant menace or action because people are just, this is boring. Baseball's boring. It's a bunch of guys standing out there scratching their nuts, you know, spitting, scratching their ass. Like, I don't know. I think there's more to it than that. It's just millionaires arguing with billionaires. It's boring, boring. So put a fucking mountain lion out there and maybe it'll spice that thing up for you bastards. Oh, I'm getting fired up. Oh, I don't know. It irritates the hell out of me. I mean, this is an opportunity. We need baseball back, right? thing's probably, I don't think they're going to be able to get it together. And even if they do, it's going to be like a 50-game season. That's bullshit. You know, 50 games is not even a legitimate. If you have a half a season, which is what they're proposing, that would be, that's still, I don't know if that would be legitimate or not. If my team, the Cincinnati Reds, were to win the World Series in a, in an 80-game season, I don't know, it'd be tainted. I mean, it'd be exciting to see them in the playoffs and the World Series and all that, but it would be tainted. I mean, nobody would, there'd be a big fat asterisk beside beside that every year, you know? I mean, forever, for the rest of, for the end of time. Be like, that's not really, I mean, they won, but it's not, it wasn't really, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a real season. That was back when they had that disease. Remember, what was that thing? Oh, yeah, was it polio or like smallpox or something? No, coronavirus. Nah. So anyway, you know, even at 82 games or whatever they're proposing, that's pushing it. But, I can go with that. You start shortening that shit up to 50, that's ridiculous. They usually play 162. That's not even, you know, that's not, not even a third of the games. Anyway, so that's all screwed up. And speaking of cloning players, I was thinking about this book. There's this book that I own it. It's on my Kindle, but I haven't read it. And it's, I think I heard about it on George Norrie, you know, Coast to Coast, the radio show. Let me see if I can pull it up. It's about this kid. It's like, I think it's called The Boy Who Knew Too Much. I'm sorry, I should have this pulled up already. I'm not prepped. It's called The Boy Who Knew Too Much, I think. I'm typing it, sorry. It's about this kid. And he's like 2 years old, I guess. And right here, I'll just read it. I'll just read you the, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Let me put this thing on hold. Hang on a second. All right, sorry about that. So it's about this little kid. He's like 2 years old. And here's the description of it on Amazon. It says, "Mommy, I used to be a tall baseball player." "Yes, you will be a tall baseball player someday." With a look of exasperation, he stomped his foot and hollered, "No, I was a tall baseball player. Tall like Daddy." That's how it starts out. And I don't like that stomping of his foot. A little shit. It sounds like a little shit to me. With exasperation, he stomped his foot and hollered, "No, I was a tall baseball player, tall like Daddy." And it says, "What was my son trying to say to me? Did he mean? He couldn't mean. Was he trying to tell me that he was a grown-up in a previous life?" At the tender age of 2, baseball prodigy Christian Haupt began sharing vivid memories of being a baseball player in the 1920s and 30s, from riding cross-country on trains to his fierce rivalry with Babe Ruth. Christian described historical facts about the life of American hero and baseball legend Lou Gehrig that he could not have possibly known at the time. So this is a book written by this kid's mother claiming that this kid is the reincarnated Lou Gehrig. Right? So, I mean, he's like sitting there telling these stories, this little 2-year-old, 3-year-old kid, about when he was, riding trains and going from town to town. It's like, I have that book. I want to read it someday. But anyway, maybe we could bring him in. Maybe he should be like, this thing was written in 2012, so he's like, it was like 8 years ago. So he's getting up to the little league age. The guy should be like the best baseball player in town, right? If he's little league age at this point, he should be the best baseball player in town if he's frickin' Lou Gehrig, you know? So maybe we could, I don't know, maybe we could find a bunch of reincarnated players. I didn't know that. I didn't even think about that. But anyway, this kid, you know, I'd like to see that. I think I could go. I think somebody could write a book. Except it probably wouldn't be Lou Gehrig, because I think he was pretty goody-two-shoes from what I understand. Although, you know, he should be careful about that, because what if he comes down with Lou Gehrig's disease later? That would be ironic. And a tragic end to the whole story. But anyway, like, say Ty Cobb. He was a bastard from what I understand. Ty Cobb. So what if there's some little kid, right? This would be like a comic, like a movie that you could make, or a novel, I guess. Maybe I'll write this someday. about some little kid who is Ty Cobb reincarnated, right? And he's like 3 years old, and he's like sitting in there, you know, playing with blocks or whatever. And he starts talking to his mom and dad. Yeah, I ever tell you about that broad I banged in, you know, Hoboken back in 1917, you know? They'd be like, Jimmy, what are you? Yeah, she's one of them bullpen whores, you know? Yeah, they got them in every city. Anyway, he starts talking all this stuff, you know? And I think you could get some mileage out of that if there's some little kid. He's the reincarnated, he's Ty Cobb reincarnated. I think you can get some comedy out of that. But anyway, I need to read that book, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. I used to listen to that George Norrie radio show when I drive home from work, back when I used to work till 1:30 a.m. It's on overnight. It used to be hosted by, what's his name? Man, I can't think of people's names anymore. But anyway, George Norrie is the host of it now. And, you know, it's all paranormal and all kinds of shit, like, you know, UFOs and all that stuff. Fantastic. I love listening to that kind of stuff. Especially in the middle of the night on the radio, when it's like the signal's kind of fading in and out, you know. There's something romantic about that. I love it. But anyway, and I heard him talking about this book on there many, many years ago. So anyway, I need to read it. I have it. I own it. I haven't read it yet. What else I have? Yeah, I think that's enough. Let's see. If you want two of these, I will tell you that much. If you want two of these episodes every week instead of just a measly one, and I can't think of any reason why you would not, you can do it today. You can head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. And instantly, you'll gain access to a whole bunch of episodes that I did for patrons only. I do that every week. Not every once in a while. Not every month. Every week. And you gain access to all the ones that are already in the can. You know, the ones I've already recorded. So there's a bunch of extra episodes out there you can listen to instantly. And then you gain access to all the new ones as they're released each week. And that's just for $4. You put it on a credit card. What? Credit card? What the hell is wrong with me? Put it on a credit card. The first of every month, they charge you up the $4. You won't notice it because it's $4. And you have all this extra Surf Report podcast action at your fingertips. So if you're interested in doing that, you should do it right now, as soon as this thing's over. And, sign up at patreon.com/JeffK. Also, if you want to leave a message on the, I'm having trouble. If you want to leave a message on the hotline, 570-290-8151 is the number. That's 570-290-8151. You can ask me a question. You can make a comment. You can make a suggestion, whatever you want to do, and just identify yourself. And I'll probably, almost certainly, use it in a future episode. It's just a voicemail system, so if you want to do it in the middle of the night, if you want to do it early in the morning, if you want to, whatever, just call it. If you have something to say, you want to be a part of the show, do that today, 570-290-8151. Also, we have an email address, surfreportpod@gmail.com. So I think that covers all the business side of things. Hope you enjoyed this. I'm not really doing very well. I'm struggling. I ain't getting much. My sleep isn't good. I don't know if I mentioned this before. Maybe I mentioned it a few times, maybe like 100. Anyway, my brain's not operating at full capacity. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'll be back soon over on the Patreon side. And until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see ya. Bye. Hotter than owl piss.